and welcome to One Footer in the Grave, the podcast that imagines what it would be like if four old school web hands were at the same care home. With me today, and pleading with the nurses not to have to go to bingo, is Mr. Boag.
Yay!
Next, we have Mr. Lillington, who's had another one of his little accidents. Nothing scatological, he's just got another electric shock off his guitar. And then we have Mr. Clark, who's petitioning the management to have Motorhead Mondays. And finally, dribbling in the corner with Repair Shop on the telly on repeat, is Mr. Hicks. That is me. Hello, everybody.
Do you know, the example, hello, John, the examples you used were spot on for each and every one of us, I think.
Yeah, given I like the idea of Motorhead Mondays.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it, that care homes are facing, is that, you know, the typically in the past it's been sort of Vera Lynn type sort of stuff, but as time goes on, there'll be drum and bass evenings, you know, or maybe drum and bass afternoons. You get to that age.
The good thing about being in a care home is that you can turn the volume right up, and all the old duffers won't be able to hear you because they're deaf as a post.
Yeah. I really envy my dad. My dad is quite badly deaf and has to wear hearing aids. And we're sitting at a meal sometimes, and I see him do it. It's like we're all out and we're laughing too much, and he just turns us all down. So he can't, on his phone, he just turns the volume down so he doesn't have to listen to us anymore. And I quite like that. Oh. I think that's a nice way to live.
That's really like passive curmudgeonly, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Fuck you.
He did.
Yeah, that's about my dad.
Have we talked about the dot of shame before on this podcast? Because you said I'd had another accident.
Oh, the dot of shame. No.
Yeah, it's like the male equivalent of a tenor lady requirement.
Oh, yes, the dot of shame.
Don't wear khaki trousers.
Yeah.
You can't wear light trousers, when you're in the care home.
No, it's true.
Do you want to talk about such a thing? I mean,
is this something you want to confess?
Oh, it's very much a thing, but just to be very careful.
Well, I think
there's a lot more shaking involved than there used to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. More thorough.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be too much information, and Marcus can edit this out as he sees fit. But shaking isn't enough.
No.
You need a special movement, which I can only describe as...
We all know what you mean.
Oh, no, but describe it. I want to hear how he's going to articulate the special movement.
Lift the bag of shopping and then shake. And that's the way to you know, completely clear that pelvic floor, you know.
Do you know what? I've never tried that particular combination. I feel like, see, this is a public service announcement. This is valuable.
There you go.
It also kind of links into the intro too much, doesn't it?
give me 5 minutes. I'll be back in a minute.
Some of our older gentlemen listeners will recognise the fact that we look back with nostalgia at the days where you used to be able to piss high up a wall.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. I still get excited if I go into a pub that has a wall urinal. It's fantastic. I was in Cornwall a couple of weeks ago, and it was a cricket tour, so very, very blokey affair. And we all met up in a pub that had exactly that. And I gave a little whoop as I walked into the toilet for the first...
What, you drew a little whoop?
Well, I didn't think about that, but...
that's really good skills.
That'd be impressive. There's no way I could draw a whoop these days.
Anyway, before this descends into depravity, I've just got two housekeeping announcements. So the first of all is an apology to Marcus, because listening to the last episode again, I was aware very much of how much I was fiddling with things, moving around, making lots of little noises. I've also mentioned before we started about my creaking chair. So, apology to Marcus, and also thank you because you did such a good job editing, as always, with the last podcast. And I thought, oh, yes, that's good. All the bits I wanted taken out were taken out. So it was magic.
Do you know what? I never listened back to any of the podcast.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I wouldn't do it otherwise.
It's not hard. It's not easy listening to yourself.
I would say this one is the exception. I obviously listen back to all of them because I listen back to it as I'm editing.
Well, yeah.
But this one is the most fun because it actually makes me laugh.
Yes.
Whereas most don't.
When you just talk to Paul, it's not funny, is it?
No. So anyway, that was one. So the second bit of housekeeping. I'm just going to, slam forward with this because we want to get this out of the way and get on with the main thing. So the second piece is, you know how someone can say something a little bit jokey and then it just sort of eats away at you, you're kind of thinking, yeah. I know it was a joke, but damn it, why did they say that? So I've just got to rant.
Was it me?
No, the last episode, I had an emergency. So I was uploading files to OneDrive, which managed to bring down OneDrive for the entire organization. But that's not really my fault. That's crappy Microsoft and not allowing batched uploads or whatever. Anyway, so when I came back, somebody made the little comment,
Andy.
What could the emergency be? Is who needs an emergency logo? And it is a bit like on The Simpsons, where someone kind of like there's or any sort of shows where someone's walking down the beach and they're trying to forget their troubles, and then this sort of face appears of someone saying, "Who would need a logo in an emergency?" And it would just sort of echo around your head. And it's I do more than logos. So I just wanted to give a little glimpse into my head and the way I was thinking. Because, of course, it was just a sort of just a humorous remark. But at the time...
But I still don't understand, even though we know you do more than logos. I mean, why would you have an icon emergency either? Because that's the only other thing you do, right?
So that's going to be the next... Tomorrow's walk on the beach is going to be Andy like one side and then Paul on the other. Who would want an icon emergency? Who would want a logo emergency? You don't do anything important.
I wasn't trying to diminish importance of your work.
Of course not. But it
was I honestly don't know what you work on most of the time, John. Well, because he doesn't make a big deal out of it like the rest of us, does he?
We've known you for 20 years, Paul, and we still don't know what you do for a living.
Well, that's very true.
No, that is fair.
Just remix these two words, oil and snake. There you go.
Who would need an oily snake in an emergency?
The difference between you, John, and Paul now is that Andy's amusing but harsh words have been meaning you lost sleep over the last month.
I thought you might find it funny.
Paul has already forgotten.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you say and then you immediately forget about. And I didn't. And that's a little glimpse into my sort of petty paranoid mind. Anyway, there we go.
You have my heartfelt apologies.
There's no need to apologize. There's nothing to apologize for, but I thought you might find it funny that was kind of how I took it.
It is strange though, isn't it? 9 people can say something really good about what you've done, and one person makes a comment, and that's the one that goes around and round and round in your head.
It's weird. Yeah. So I just hope you got that sort of image in your minds of me walking on the beach with these floating heads around me.
So what are you working on that caused the problems with OneDrive?
I was just uploading files.
but it was... Yeah, but were they big files? Were you doing video work?
It was 6 years worth of all the different versions of the Resolve to Save Lives website and the Prevent Epidemics website and another thing called Links Community. It's all public health websites.
Right.
But all websites that I've been involved with over the years... Nobody at the organization keeps any backups apart from me. So I was trying to sort of offload the guilt and say to them, look, take all these files. These are your files now,
Right.
They're taking up a lot of space on my hard drive and I want you to do that. I want you to have them. So,
So you tried to fix a backup problem by bringing down their OneDrive.
I didn't think it would bring down. If you put stuff like big files in Dropbox, it just sits in the background, just chunters away.
Yeah.
I mean, it might take a long time, but it will just happily go, oh, I'll just upload your files for you. There we go. You know, it doesn't complain. It just works. Well, that's my experience with Dropbox anyway.
But it must be something to do with the way that they've got things set up, because if it was going to cause a problem anywhere, you'd think it would cause a problem between you and the cloud. But they must have things set up that everything that gets uploaded to the cloud is then being downloaded to people's computers, because that's the only reason it would kill anything.
Oh, I don't know. This is the thing. I didn't go too deeply. I mean, it sounded like it didn't even get to that stage. You know, it was literally just bringing OneDrive down. I mean, it was, I can't remember how many gigs of data, but it was quite sizable. But as opposed to, like, you know, doing it on a web interface, dragging and dropping, I thought, well,
yeah,
that's what the cloud sync,
yeah,
you know, system level is all there. You know, it just should just happily chunter away and take its time, but get there in
that's
the end.
That's rubbish.
I had a small emergency.
Did you?
A couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't.
Are we back to the spot problem again?
No, it wasn't. This dot of shame.
The dot.
So, I've been trying to move as many things that I pay for away from the US, and also I wanted to, you know, cancel a whole load of subscriptions, and I realised that actually, you know, I had like 3 terabytes worth of Dropbox, which I was paying for because, you know, I had a book in there at some point. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll switch it to this thing called Proton Drive, which is a EU-based drive thing. They do lots of other things.
Is that like Proton Mail? So I had the same people?
Yes.
All right.
So I had a folder on my computer, which was the Proton Drive folder, and I was dragging stuff into it, and I was just testing it out. It was content for articles. You know, it was sketch files and text files and a couple of video files. So I put it all in there, and then it did an OS update. And when I then reopened, it said, you can't access this folder until you log back into to Proton. So I logged back in, and it turned out that I'd been logged out, and it then replaced the contents of this folder with what it had on the previous backup, which was several weeks prior.
Oh, crap.
So I ended up losing, you know, a whole ton of kind of stuff. But fortunately, I'd already, you know, sent that stuff off to CSS Tricks or Smashing or wherever. And it didn't matter. You know, I hadn't lost anything that I needed to spend a month recreating. But there was a little kind of lesson. So Proton Mail has now been deleted and I've resubscribed to Dropbox.
Oh, hello. And this is actually, I've been sort of trying to think about the same thing, like how can we do this? But things like, you know, for example, you know, I've from long ago had a Spotify account, which I'm trying to encourage the members of the family to leave Spotify because they invest in military AI. But yeah, it's like, how do you find the equivalents for all these things? And especially with files, you know, if you lose confidence, like I, when I started iCloud Drive, uploaded a load of Lee's photos, stupidly didn't check the backup or take another backup. All those files were corrupted. So I've never trusted iCloud Drive since. But, you know, finding non-US companies, I'm hoping that someone somewhere is actually writing out a big spreadsheet of,
There is a website. I will put a link in the show notes when I remember it. But it is exactly that, a table of non-US alternatives to everything from cloud storage to, you know, anything that you generally pay for on subscription.
Yeah. Michelle on Paul's Barag World channel has shared something similar. I could dig that out.
Very sensible.
You know, I said earlier that, you know, I enjoy editing this podcast.
Yeah,
laughing.
We just talked about file sharing for 20 minutes. What are we supposed to be talking about? Yeah. Do we actually think of anything?
Yeah, I did have a subject. And, okay, let me explain. So after 20 years, I've been working in an office, like, separate from home. So I've always shared with other freelancers, people like John Oxton, you know, Matt Hamm, Andy, all sorts of people, just basically local freelancers in the same industry, similar kind of characters and personalities. We all get on really well. And, you know, that kind of those people have sort of ebbed and flowed and changed over the years. And for the last 3 years, it's tended just to be like me and like one or two others. So finally, the others have decided that they want to go and work from home now. I may have pissed them off somehow.
I'm paranoia again.
I may have smelt a little too much. And there's no other options now. So there's no, like, you know, somewhere like Whitney, there's no co-working spaces where like-minded people are. Like, if you're in Brighton or Bristol, you know, you'd have loads of places, or obviously London or in the big cities. But, you know, it's a little sort of market town. There's not really that kind of setup. So I'm going to go back home. I'm going to be in the little spare room office. And the reason I wanted to bring this up was because, as far as I know, all three of you work from home and have done probably for a long time now. Mm-hmm. So how do you do it without getting depressed?
No, we just get depressed. I think we're all chronically depressed. I don't know.
Go on. I know your house, and I think I know the room that you're talking about, which is when you go up the stairs and turn back on yourself, and you go down the corridor, it's the room on the right.
Yeah. So Lee's...
So that's the one where...
Used to be the pottery Lee studio would, there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right, that one. So my advice would be to make that room exactly how you want it to be for a worky environment.
Yeah.
So don't have it as a multi-purpose room, you know, spare room, whatever. It should be your space. And, you know, Sue doesn't let me put Godzillas anywhere else around the house. You know, this is my
space. Your man cave.
It's my man cave. So you need to do that. And I think that the other thing is that you do need to get out sometimes. So even if it's just to go and work in a coffee shop for the morning, which, you know, I go down to the deli in Prestatyn, you know, once or twice a week sometimes if I'm feeling lonely. So it is okay to kind of, you know, go out and do that as well. But the biggest thing is get your environment set up in a way that you feel comfortable to, you know, spend time in. Because at the end of the day, we, you know, spend 16 hours a day or something in a space. And also, this doesn't work for me, so it's like pot calling kettle black. But a lot of people will have a routine and they'll say, just like they were going to work in the office, I'm not going to work past 6 o'clock. I don't do this. I work all hours of the fucking day or night. But just to be able to say, all right, I've finished now, done what I needed to do, got all my calls out of the way, uploaded all my files, brought down
broken
there,
OneDrive.
Deleted all my backups.
Not my problem. I'm going to shut the door.
Yeah.
And then you can go downstairs and watch Doctor Who. Hmm. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, the room's big enough for my desk. I can fit my desk and a couple of bookcases. You know, like you, I can have my toys in the background. I can certainly sort of make it my space. And we're also, you know, those are people that I share with us that are around in the area. So we've decided to try and sort of meet up and do like a Monday morning breakfast club. Because this is the sad thing, that this building where I'm renting a desk at the moment, back in March, this really nice deli and cafe open downstairs. And it's become this kind of really nice hub, even though it's like not in the town. It's basically in a residential area. It's a really easily walkable space. And so I think we're going to come here and try and do that. But yeah, I think I'm going to need to work out some kind of exercise, because my exercise has always been getting to an office, like cycling or walking or something like that. But that's because it's always had a purpose. You know, I have to get there. And I can't really see myself.
Don't worry about exercise. You have a dog, John?
No, not.
Well, that's the best thing to get you out. And now, because you're not going to an office, you'll be at home, so the dog won't be left on his own all day, or her own.
Yeah.
Because Michelle and I were saying exactly this morning when we're walking around, just as it's getting light. You know, you wouldn't choose to go out for a 45-minute walk in the rain, as it's still sort of slightly dark out there. But it's a great, you know, it wakes you up.
Yeah, totally.
On board.
Yeah.
And it's good exercise. But obviously, if you don't like dogs, then that's a bit different.
No, love dogs. But, you know, Olive died when she died, 21. So,
of course, yes.
You know,
of course.
It's been a while. And we've just kind of been enjoying the kind of ease of traveling without having to sort of make arrangements for the dog.
That's true.
So it's difficult.
I would highly recommend that. And there's another reason that dogs are brilliant, because you've got someone to talk to.
Yeah. You know what? That has occurred to me, and I've been wondering about this. There is pressure from other members of the family to get a dog, mainly from Samantha. You know, she's, you know, even though she's moving out into a flat in Oxford this month, you know, she's still kind of trying to sort of push for getting a dog. So yeah, I think that's a good plan, actually.
There is another option, which is what I keep suggesting to you, which is to move here. I keep sending you.
I know. Lovely
properties.
Properties
on Rightmove.
Yeah.
Yeah. £325,000 buys you a nice cottage here with space for a pottery studio and your graphics.
I know. I mean,
that's not a yes, Andy, in case you're wondering.
Just in case,
let me make this as far away totally from clear. Me as possible.
No, I think it's, I mean, that move is always on the cards, you know, once both kids are sort of set up and with a life somewhere. You know, I don't think we're in our forever home. And I think, you know, we're certainly in an area where it doesn't make sense if you're not, if you've got a family. You know, it's, you know, we particularly moved to it because it was close to schools and, you know, that kind of thing. So my question always to the back of my mind is, if we went to North Wales, would the kids ever come to visit us?
Of course because they wouldn't.
And I'll leave it to your imagination to whether that's a good or a bad thing.
I think when they reach a certain age, I think they will, because, you know, it's a beautiful area. But you've got to get to the age of like appreciating the great outdoors and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes a little bit longer. I mean, for me, there's kind of two elements to working from home. One is having people to talk to throughout the day, even if that's virtually. So, you know, I've got a Slack channel where I just hang out with a load of people and we moan at one another every, you know, few hours about whatever we're working on and, you know, share a little bit of stuff. So there's a little bit of back and forth there, and I find that really good. And then the other thing, it kind of goes back to what Andy was saying about, well, you can work from anywhere now, that means. So, you know, that can be going away and, I don't know, hiring an Airbnb for a month in Scotland if you want to. Or, you know, it really is easy to be wherever you want to be to work. So, you know, it's moving from that mentality of, oh, I'm paying for an office, so I need to be in an office the whole time.
True.
To a mentality of, well, I'm not paying for where I work, so I can work from anywhere. Today it might be the pub down the road, tomorrow it might be you know, an Airbnb in North Wales while I visit Andy, and then next week it might be from a beach in Thailand. You know, it doesn't matter. Especially if you get something like a Starlink as well, a Starlink Mini, you know, you really can work from absolutely anywhere. In the summer, you can go out to the, you know, the local forestry commission area and just spend the day working from a desk there if you wanted to, or a bench, not a desk.
The special hot desks in the woods.
Hot desks in the middle of the woods.
It's quite a kind of Python-esque kind of vision in my head of, like, you know, walking in a forest and just seeing someone in a sort of suit and tie sort of like at a desk. Like,
in a cubicle. Yeah.
Can I help you?
That goes against what Andy was saying, though. Because Andy was saying about, you know, making your space, your workspace, your space.
But I don't think, no, I don't, I disagree with that, because this room where I'm now is very much my space. It's my room, and it's, but it's not the only place that I've got. I'm not tied to it in the same way as you are with an office, because an office is a cost to your business. And so you feel like you have to be in the office to justify paying for it. Well, you don't have that with your own house, you know?
Even though I agree that we have this freedom, I can pick up my laptop and go to the cafe, or I can go and sit out in the garden, which I do occasionally, you know, in some of the weather's lovely and I've got a lovely garden, all those kind of things. I soon realised that that place isn't as good a place to work as the perfect office environment that I've got indoors. No. So you end up going, so I end up not bothering going out, which is wrong, but you're just like, it's so much easier just to stay here, walk from the kitchen behind me there, sit down and work, because it's all here. I've got big monitors and
really interesting you say the thing about the big monitors, because I purposely haven't got a monitor, right? And I purposely don't have a monitor because I know that would entrench me. I would then be tied to this thing.
It's a good idea.
And it hasn't been easy, because you get very used to having, you know, all your perfect setup and everything else.
Yeah.
But you do adjust eventually. And, you know, I think I was kind of forced to do it from 3 years of traveling with an RV, where everything my office setup is all portable, you know, even down to this mic in front of me. It's a tiny mic that I can easily take with me wherever I need to go. You know, my mouse can slip into a bag. I'm using the keyboard of my laptop. So I've kind of, in my case, I've kind of, now I think about it, I've designed my work environment to be a portable one. I'm not saying that's for everybody, by the way.
The difference, I think, let's say between you and me, Paul, is that I know that for you, working is just about getting a few things done, usually as little as possible.
Exactly.
Getting stuff done, and then being able to close the lid and do something else.
Yeah.
Whereas I actually really like the work. And I would choose to do the work even if I wasn't being paid for it. You know, I will come up here on a Saturday afternoon before the football, and I'll think, well, I've got no client work to do. If I have got client work to do, I don't mind on a Saturday afternoon coming and fiddling with it.
Yeah.
But if I don't have it, I think, I think I might design some T-shirts or I might go and do something else.
Yeah.
So having a space like this really kind of puts you in a certain mindset. Whereas when we went to Germany, you know, we stay in Alex's flat. There's a table I can work at. Alex has got a monitor I could plug into. And I did the bare minimum of stuff that I know that I needed to do, but I didn't feel in the right space, either physically or mentally.
Yeah. There's an ergonomic aspect to it as well. So, you know, I've tried working from just a laptop or an iPad. But your general kind of body position is quite crunched in. Whereas when you've got a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, you know, you can be relaxed, your back straighter. It's just more natural. And I think there's that practical element to it. I can narrow down what I need in an office. Very small, but it does have to be a monitor and a keyboard and mouse.
Or a Vision Pro.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting idea. And apparently,
I think at the moment that would be too heavy to wear all day. But I don't think we're far off of that. And trust me, I looked a lot when we were in a motorhome the whole time. My solution to that for the time being is one of these, which is a little flip out stand from the bottom of my laptop. But I mean, you could. Whether you actually need a full-scale monitor, you might be able to get away with using your laptop screen, but with a keyboard and a mouse and a stand to put the... Because you can get some great fold-up little stands that you can put your laptop on.
Yeah.
So that would be another option. But this is the thing with this whole conversation and why, as Jeremy... I've forgotten Jeremy's second name.
Keith.
Keith, why did I forget his name?
Oh, he's very forgettable.
He is. As Jeremy Keith famously said on our podcast once, I reject the premise of your question. And in some ways, you kind of almost need to reject the premise of your question, John, which is that it's going to be different for everybody. What's going to stop you getting depressed working from home is going to be totally different to me. It's going to be totally different to Andy. You know, because you're a different person with the different things you need, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's only through trial and error you find out what works.
I haven't got any money to spend at the moment. But if I was a little flusher, the thing that I would actually buy would be a 16-inch laptop for the first time.
Mm.
Because I don't go traveling very much, but I do use the laptop in the house all the time. And I don't plug it into a monitor.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I think the big thing here, though, the big thing for me, because Headscape went fully office-free shortly after COVID, we realised that we were paying not that much. We got a great deal, sort of got an office within an office, but we were paying for an office that nobody went to, pretty much. And before that, we were only really only going once a week. But that one day a week when not everybody, but the majority of the team would meet up, I really miss... a hell of a lot. And if we could just magic that back to happening again, would be fantastic. Because I think we've lost spontaneous things happening.
It's not an unsurmountable problem, though, is it?
Well, I'll come on to that. We've recognised this and gone, well, we should meet up more. And we started this a year ago, actually. Last October, we did our first kind of meet-up. We went to Bath and we hired a meeting space for 2 days, stayed overnight, and it was great. And then we did it again, I can't remember, January maybe, and then again in April. But then it's been, we've got a bit busy, so we're actually meeting up next week. But we'd agreed that we'd do it every 3 months. So I keep going back to the point, it's hard to do this stuff, so make the effort. Make the effort to meet up with people. It shouldn't be hard, but it's just making the bloody effort.
But again, I think I would argue that's you, right? You needed that, but not necessarily everybody in the company needs it, or it helps everybody in the company. See, I would have been, you know, in the days where I was a part of Headscape, I actually didn't really enjoy when I had to go in. Okay. And I didn't, it wasn't a thing that I got value out of. I did it because you needed it. Other people needed it. Sometimes it was logistically needed. Hmm. But I think you may feel like you're missing out on something because that's your personality and that's who you are. But for other people, you know, you need the solitude and the space and the quiet that a home environment gives you. So, and I think this also goes back
all
sorry.
The time, though, 100%.
Yeah,
but
I would much prefer. I never get if I have to go and meet with other people, it is a thing I have to do, not a thing I want to do.
And that's fair enough. But my point was, I think Headscape as a whole isn't as well off not having those regular meets as it used to be. That's all. Not a personal thing for anyone in the company.
And I do think that it kind of depends on the culture you've built within the company. Mm. It depends on the history that's there. So, yeah, you may well be right. But it is it's such an individual thing, I think. Because it goes back to what Andy was saying about, you know, how you view work as well and what your attitude towards work is. You know, if you see work as work rather than, as Andy does, as fun. I don't know, play, life, whatever you want to call it, then, you know, having to go to a certain place to do it adds another level of friction and another level of inconvenience to it, maybe. Mm. Yeah, but I do recognise I am the most antisocial person on the planet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know. I think I'm somewhere in between the two of you. I think, you know, I think
well,
I'm
I think 90% of the public, the people in the world are somewhere between me and Marcus.
The last time I worked from home was, apart from that kind of brief few months in COVID where we all had to do that. So that was 20 years ago. In 2005, I started renting an office with some other people. And just before then, people were asking me what part of Scotland I was from. And it was simply because for the last previous 3 years, I had been working from home. The person I saw the most was Lee. And over that time, I had just like built up a kind of lilt, I think. And people were sort Scottish of saying, whereabouts are you from Scotland? And I said, I'm from Royal Leamington Spa, damn you. damn your eyes. That was kind of like, I'm aware of that now, going back to sort of working from home, that was something that I did, you know, and it was very much a, you know, a symptom of the problem of not talking to enough people. So. Mm.
But presumably, Lee isn't going to be in the house all the time because she has gone and got her studio.
Yep. Mantha is moving out as well. Not that she would be work during the day normally anyway, but she's just started a PhD and she's going to be in Oxford. It's going to be very quiet. Dan's not around either. He's just started an MA and is still working weekends. So he has one day off a week. And, you know, I'll probably see him around on those days. But otherwise, you know, it is going to be very quiet. So I kind of think...
You really have no excuse not to move to North Wales.
And buy a dog.
And buy a dog. Think of all the dog walking.
John, can I just point out that I'm the only person not pressuring you to be other than you are. You can be whoever you want to be.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Andy and I are bullies.
But what's interesting is just like the sheer spectrum of like attitude to working from home there is. Mm. You know, like Paul, basically you sound as if basically you prefer that. And anything else other than that is to be spurned, it's to be grumped at, and... yeah, it's just and you know rejected forcefully.
To grump.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I love my working life. You know, I work the minimum number of hours I can get away with the minimum commute I can get away with.
Well, as you should,
you know,
for the maximum amount of money.
Yeah, for the maximum amount of the thank you. Yeah.
No one on the deathbed's going to say, "I wish I spent more time at the office." You know, it's
yeah.
Having said that, I also lean towards Andy's view of I really enjoy what I do.
Absolutely, you know? And I actually envy Andy that to some degree because obviously, you know, I started off in a similar place to you, John, and you, Andy, is coming from a design background, and I very much moved away from that. And the cost of that has been that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy my job. I have a great job, but it doesn't scratch that. Do you want me to explain? Because you really don't want to know, is the honest truth. You won't listen to me if I even explain it to you.
No, but
the long and the short of it is, you know, it doesn't scratch that creative itch that you guys get, you know?
Yep.
And Marcus would be more in line with me, that 100% work is work to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I, like you, used to, a long time ago, have a creative job.
Yeah.
There's stuff behind me. And now I'm like you. And so I don't hate what I do. It's great. Quite a lot of the time, it's quite stressful, and I'd like to kick that into touch. But yeah, we're a great team. It's hardly, you know, it's hard. It's not hard graft, is it?
No. Sitting we don't have my proper computer jobs.
Writing proposals and talking to clients. Oh, that's really hard, isn't it? You know, it's fine.
Little bit of perspective is what you're saying. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I like to meet up with people. And what we're trying to do, again, could try a bit harder, is just not the whole. I mean, we are still meeting up, the all of us, next week, and we'll try and do that every 3 or 4 months. But I'll just go to Chris's because he's only 30 minutes down the road, and just sit in his kitchen and work on something for a Wednesday till the middle of the afternoon. Then I'll come home again, and doing that is great. And that's all I need to scratch that particular itch. Just go and see, and that could be once a month. It doesn't have to be every week. If I'm working here all the time, every day, doesn't change, don't go and see any clients or anything like that, it does start to get to me after a while. Michelle says, go to the pub.
Just to be clear, it does with me as well, which is why I go off travelling and why I, you know, have to go to work from the pub for a while and things like that. And I'm beginning to get to that point again now. I can't remember when we came back, but I'm beginning to get itchy feet again and going, I need something beyond this house. So, yeah, it's not like I'm a complete shut-in. I feel like I'm coming across very badly here.
Just a man who knows what he wants.
That's fair.
Well, I think
should we wrap it up?
I'm about to say, should we wrap it up there? Because that's been good. It's been nice. You know, I kind of just like to hear that other people can do it, and it's fine. I haven't had to do it, as I say, for 20 years, so I'm sure it'll be fine. But yeah, I think I think the online connection with people is where it's at, because those people that I've been sharing with are sort of moving away. They aren't necessarily local to go and see and meet up easily. Mm. So there's maybe only a couple of us left. So it's good. It's good to know. It's
a little Slack channel between all of you, and
you can do
huddles.
You can do it on FaceTime. Just put the iPad in the corner with a group video and just keep it running all day.
I hate that. I hate that, people being able to see what you're doing.
I don't mind having it as text the whole time.
Yeah,
but I
text
wouldn't
want to
see them every time I scratch my arse, you know.
Yes. And on that note, we shall leave it there. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time, God willing.